Begin the current daf in Sechtes Beis daf Vav. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf and dafim, and more importantly, regarding the topic of this perek, which began with the first mishnah of this Masechta, regarding a Beis Shenolda B'Yomtiv. Now, in regard to that, there was a discussion how that plays out. Although Beis Hillel says Aser when it's born on that day, what's the halacha regarding from one day Yomtiv to the second day Yomtiv? And then moreover, related to was that the discrepancy between the first day of Rosh Hashanah to the second day of Rosh Hashanah. That's where Agmar continues, and this will come into the discussion regarding the two different days of Yom Tov. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Mace, if there's a dead person that has yet to be buried, that's laying there and has to be buried, so if it's be Yom Tov Rishon, if the corpse is there and it's on the first day of Yom Tov, Yisaskaboy Amamim, so then the nations of the world, in other words, non-Jews, they should be involved in this burial. And that's because it's forbidden to do certain malachas that are involved in burying a person. Regarding Mace, however, if there's a dead person, Yom Tov Sheni, that it's on the second day of Yom Tov, then Yisasku by Yisrael. Then Jewish people can be involved in his burial. V'afilu b'shnei Yom Tov shel Rosh Hashanah. So the chiddush that Rav is saying here is that regards to the halacha of burying a dead person, this permission of having a Jewish person do it on the second day of Yom Tov, which we're being more lenient, is even by the second day of Rosh Hashanah, Masha'inkim bebeya, which is not like we had shown on the previous daf regarding the halacha of an egg, where if an egg was laid on the first day of Yom Tov, when it's Rosh Hashanah, that we did not equate that like it is of the 2 days of Yom Tov of the diaspora of Golis, because although by the other Yom Tov, we said Beis Shenolda on the first day of Yom Tov, we pass on like Rab that the second day of Yom Tov is going to be permitted. However, regarding Rosh Hashanah, we said that no, if it's Nolda Bezeh, it will be Asa Bezeh. So although that's the halacha by Beya that we are stringent, we treat both days as if it's the one day of Rosh Hashanah with all the stringencies. Regarding burying a dead person, we don't say that. And we are leaning on the second day, because essentially, really, the main day of Yom Tov is the first day. Second day, it's more lenient in the sense that it's on some level a minig, because we already know what's the main day. And therefore, we can be lenient regarding the burying of the dead person through a Jewish person. That's what Rava said. Nardai Amri, however, the Nardians, they argue on Rava, and they say, Af bebeya, this leniency that you're saying regarding a dead person, it's not just by a dead person. Actually, it's even by an egg. If it's born on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, it will be permitted the second day of Rosh Hashanah. And this explanation, what they're saying, will come into relation to what was on the previous stuff. Because, Dema Daitre, what is your reasoning that you want to say that if it's born on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the egg will be forbidden the second day for those that are far away from Beis Din, where they have 2 days Rosh Hashanah? Because Dilma Ma'abri Leila El, because maybe we made El into a full month, which means to say that it's 30 days. What does that mean? That means, as we had explained on the previous staff, there was an original Takana that said that we're going to make 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. That was the original Takana, to make it into as if it's one Kedusha. For example, if let's say we said that if the Eidim don't come before the time of Mincha, we were concerned that then the Levim might end up saying the wrong song. They're going to sing a weekday song, which for the 30th day of El, and really it's going to end up being the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So we said we're not going to take any more Eidim after the time of Mincha, which therefore that made it, so to speak, even though we're going to count tomorrow as the first day of Rosh Hashanah, this day, if Eidim come, will be Rosh Hashanah too. So you're going to have 2 days, which is not based on the Suffolk, which makes it into two different Kedushas. It's like one long day of Rosh Hashanah. So that's what would be your logic, as we had explained this in the previous daf, to say that a Beis Shenolda on the first day, which is just distinct for Rosh Hashanah, is different than other 2 day Yom Tovs for people in exile in Galus, would be because it's like one long day of Rosh Hashanah. But that is what the Nadoin say. Ha Amar Rav Chinan no Bar Kahan Amar Rav Mi Mois Ezra Ve'Elech, from the days of Ezra and on, Lo Mitzinu El Mu'ubur, we never found an El to be a full 30 days. Now, what that means is that even though there was this Takana that we had mentioned, that we're not going to take Eidim past the time of Mincha, and therefore if they do come, we're going to have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, because on the sense it's still Rosh Hashanah, because they're saying we saw the new moon, it's obviously Rosh Hashanah, but we're not going to make the designations of the first day of the month of Tishri till tomorrow, so we're going to have these 2 days, which is where this whole halacha of Beis Shenolda Bezeh, Asa Bezeh, Rosh Hashanah. But it never happened that Eidim came after the time of Mincha, besides that one time that was that error which made them make the Takana, and therefore essentially what Nadoins are saying, that the Takana never took effect, because it never happened. Now the Rashi explains the reason why Nadoins said from the days of Ezra was because in his days they had been ma'abrated, they made it, as it says in the Pasuk, in Sefer Nechemya, Uvayim Hasheni, and that's talking about Rosh Hashanah, that there were 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, that they made it Mu'ubur. But essentially what they're saying is, the Takana never took effect, because it never happened They made that institution, but since it never took effect, there never was this halacha of this one kedusha, and therefore this that they celebrate outside, let's say, 2 days Rosh Hashanah in Galus, is like all Yom Tovim Shel Galus, where it's just out of doubt, and therefore just like over there, if it's born on the first day, it's mut the second day, because either one of them is weekday, and hence there's no problem of being born on Yom Tov, and even if it is, then the following day is a weekday, and therefore even by Rosh Hashanah, we would say, just like you're saying by Mes, we would say that something is by Beya, the Beya, no, the Bezeh, even Rosh Hashanah, and the second day would be Mutter. Now the Gemara explains the entirety of the halacha of Rava. So Amar Zutra, Mazutra said, Lo Yamarn, we didn't say this halacha that Rava said, that Jewish people could be involved in the burial of the dead person on the second day of Yom Tov. That's Ela de Ishtoi. That's only if what happens is it's the second day and he's just laying around, because the first day the Jewish people couldn't do it. And now we're afraid that the body's going to rot and it's going to be a disgrace. So then we say that Jewish people could bury him because it's still the second day of Yom Tov. But if it wasn't a long time of waiting, that is, let's say he just died today on the second day of Yom Tov, then we do wait. We don't have Jewish people burying him even though it's the second day of Yom Tov. It's only in the case where the body's going to decompose, then we allow Jewish people to do it. However, Rav Ashi, he argues, and he says, no, even though there wasn't a long time since he has passed away, we still don't wait and we have the Jewish people bury him on the second day. Now, my time, what's the reason? Because Yom Tov sheni legabe mes, the halachas of Yom Tov Sheni, the second day of Yom Tov, in regards to a corpse, kechil shavi rabbanan. The rabbanan equated it like a weekday. And that is afil lemegiz leglima. And they go so far that we consider regarding a dead person that it's like a weekday. Because essentially the real day of Yom Tov is the first day. And the second day was based on because they didn't know. And then it became a minig to follow that. That they even allow them to cut the shrouds for the dead person, and even to go so far as to cut myrtles, which they would put by the coffin as a sign of honor for the person who passed away, even that you're allowed to do on the second day of Yom Tov, because for that area we consider like weekday, and therefore even though you could wait and he's not going to decompose, it doesn't make a difference, you can do that on the second day of Yom Tov. That's their argument regarding what was this heter that we're saying that everyone agrees, even Rava, that regarding a mess, the Jewish people could bury him on the second day, is that only if it's a long time in coming, or even if not, even if he just died right now. Now, however, halachically speaking, Amar Avina, Avina says that Vo'idno de'ikr chavre, today, now in our times, which was what Ravina was saying, that there are these people, these wicked people called the chavre, that they were in the times of the Persians, the chavarim, that they forced the Jewish people to do their work. Now, on Yom Tov, the Jewish people were able to get out of it, not to do the work, because they would say, look, it's Yom Tov, we don't do any work. We're subservient to what you say, but we can't do. So therefore, we're concerned that if they see that we're burying our deads on the second day of Yom Tov, they're going to say, hey, you Jewish people, you're working, and therefore get to work. And therefore, even if the halacha would be that on the second day, we could have Jewish people doing it, we're not going to do it, because then they're going to take advantage and force the Jewish people to work on the second day of Yom Tov. Now the Gemara brings a story to illustrate this halacha regarding this discrepancies in the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Ravina Hava Yosef Kameh D'Rav Asi, and Rashi has the Girsa Kameh D'Rav Ashi, that B'Shnei Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah, that he was sitting in front of Rav Ashi on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Now Chazyeh, so now Ravina saw Rav Ashi, Dava Otzav, he saw that he was sad, that he was depressed. Amalei, Amai Otzav Mar, he says, why are you so sad on Rosh Hashanah? Because I forgot to put up, I didn't prepare an Erev Tavshilin, which an Erev Tavshilin is a certain mechanism, a certain tool that allows a person to cook and to bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos. As the mission later on, Daf Tazvav and Beza will explain, that a person really is not allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. However, if he prepares beforehand these two different types of dishes that shows that he has started cooking from before Yom Tov, then he's allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. That's what the Erev Tavshilin is. So now if Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah is on Thursday and Friday, and if he didn't make this Erev Tavshilin, he's not going to be able to have to prepare food. Although you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov for Yom Tov, you're not cook for Shabbos, and he's not going to have food for Shabbos because he forgot to make Erev Tavshilin. So Amaleis, Ravina said to Rav Ashi, V'leisa Mahar Idna, what do you mean? Today is the first day of Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah. It's a Thursday. Now prepare it today. And do it with a condition and say, look, if today is not the real day of Rosh Hashanah, because there's only one day Rosh Hashanah, and which is the first of Tishrei. Now, so if today is the really weekday and tomorrow is the Yom Tov, so I'm preparing the Erev now, on before Yom Tov. If tomorrow is really Yom Tov, if today is Yom Tov and tomorrow is a weekday, then I don't have to make Erev Tavshilin because I could cook anyways from Yom Tov to Shabbat because it's not really Yom Tov, it's really a weekday. Because Milo Yom Rav, didn't Rav tell us that Maniach Odom Erev Tavshilin, that a person is allowed to make an Erev Tavshilin, Mi Yom Tov L'Chaveiro Yumasna, from one day of Yom Tov to the next, and make a condition. And that is, look, either one day or the other is the real day of Yom Tov. So either way, when you're on the first day of Yom Tov, you can make Erev Tavshilin on condition and say, look, if today's a weekday, so good, I could make it from before Yom Tov, which is when you're supposed to make the Erev Tavshilin, that it should work from tomorrow, Friday, for Shabbos. And if today's really Yom Tov, so then I don't even have to make Erev Tavshilin, I could cook anyway on Friday, because it's a weekday, and the real day Yom Tov is on Thursday, and therefore I could cook from Friday to Shabbos. So why are you so sad? Just go ahead and make Erev Tavshilin today with this condition. So Malay Rav Asher responded to him, said, when did Rabbi say this halacha that you could do this on the condition? That's b'shnei yom tovim shel galuyos. That's by the 2 days of the diaspora, which we have explained on this stuff and the previous stuff. That's based on a suffix. We just don't know. We didn't know. That's the premise of the 2 days of Yom Tov, because the shluchim, the messengers, weren't able to get there in time. So they didn't know which one was the day. It's either one day or the other. So they made both of them out of a chumra to celebrate both of them as Yom Tov. And therefore, since it's a suffix, so then you could say that halacha of either one you'll make with it tonight. B'shnei Yom Tovim Shal Rosh Hashanah Mi Amar. But did he say this even by the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, which we're celebrating right now? That's not true. That's like what's called one long day, because they're both Kaddish. As we had explained, that the premise of the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah was based on a totally different fundamental. That was even for Beis Din, who they know when the Mekadosh HaChodesh, since they didn't want to accept after time of Mincha because of Levim's songs getting mixed up, being Mekokel. So they said that we're not going to accept regards to the day of Rosh Hashanah, which will be tomorrow, but if they do come, of course today is going to be, and therefore it was 2 days of like one halacha of Rosh Hashanah. And therefore there, we're not going to say you can make a condition because it is like the same day. And therefore you can't say if today's weekday or tomorrow's weekday, because they might both be Kaddish, and therefore it's not going to help to do this condition. But then Ravina responded, he says, but what do you mean? But the Nardoi said, which we quoted here on the top of this Amid, Avbei Mutaris. It's not true. They said that even Rosh Hashanah, that's born on if it's laid on the first day, it will be permitted the second day. So obviously you see that Rosh Hashanah is considered like two different Kedushas. And as they explained their logic, because it never ever happened that the Edom ended up coming, so the Takana never took place and never got activated. And therefore, there is no such halach of it being one Kedusha, and rather it's like two Kedushas. Rav Mordechai said to Ravina, he said, don't ask on Rav Ashi from the Nardians. Because Beferish Omali Mar, Rav Ashi told me explicitly to lay Savar Lahad and Adai, he does not hold of this halacha of Nardians. And as Rav Mordechai was the Talmud of Rav Ashi, as Gemara says in Masechta Sota, so he was telling him, rather, he holds like Rava in this machlikis that we quote on the top of this Amid between him and the Nardians, and therefore there's no question about what are you saying, why are you so sad, just make it out tonight, because it's only regarding a mess, as we saw that Rav Ashi himself qualified this halacha regarding when do we say this heter of mess. It's only regarding a dead person that will be leaning on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. But regarding the Beye, we will not, because we do consider it as one long Kedusha, and that's why he was sad. He didn't make Erev Tavshilin, and it's too late. You can't use Rava's idea. That would only work on the other days of the 2 days of Yom Tov, of the Gullus, of the Diaspora. Now the Gemara continues regards the topic of that we had learned in our Mishnah regarding a Beye Shenol de Yom Tov. But now we're not going to talk about an egg. We're going to talk about a chick itself. Itma we learned. Efroyach shenil b'yomtiv, regarding a chick that hatched on yomtiv. So we have machlekes. Rav Amar Asa. Rav says that's forbidden. Ushmuel, and b'item, some say it was Rabbi Yechon Amar, that Rabbi Yechon had said that it's mutter, it's permitted to use that chick that hatched on yomtiv. Now the Gemara explains the reasoning of the machlekes. Rav Amar Asa, he says it's forbidden because muktzahu, it's considered muktza, which is as Taisa explains it, even the contrary of Shimon, that doesn't hold the premise of the broad-based definition of muktza, even he would agree over here that it's muktza, because that would be like the classification that even Reb Shimon agrees to, of Gregor Sutzmukin, as the Gemara will later on explain this, because it had no utility whatsoever before Yom Tov, and therefore when it's hatched, it's still going to be muktza, as it was by the period of Bina Shemashas. Shmuel, and again, Vitem Reb Yechonam, that it was Reb Yechonam who said, that it's mutter, the reason is, Hayul umater atzmai, since the chick permits itself in for a certain area of halacha when it's born, which is b'shchita, then now the chick is permitted with slaughtering, which before it was hatched, there was no way of permitting the consumption of this chick through slaughtering. It has to first be hatched. So too, this heter manifests itself in other areas to permit it also from the halacha of muktzah through its hatching. Because once it's mesukin for the area of shechita, of being permitted through consumption, through the act of shechita, and that's only through its hatching, so too hatching allows it as a permission, as a takana, as a heter, for the isra of muktzah that it had going into the yamtiv. Now, the Gemara asks, Amri le Rav Kahana Rav Asi le Rav. They asked on Rav's opinion that he said that the chick that hatched on Yom Tov that's going to be forbidden, but they asked, what is the difference between the chick that hatched on Yom Tov, which is saying is asur, to a calf that's born on Yom Tov, where there's a brisa later on that's brought, that everyone agrees that even if it's born on Yom Tov, it's going to be permitted. Now, what's the difference between the chick hatching or a calf being born? So Rav says, no, it's different. Since the calf is not muktzah. The concept of muktzah is that it's set aside, which means to say that you had no intention or no utility for this on Yom Tov, going into Yom Tov. Now, on that, mukhin means to say that, no, it was prepared, that you had the thought about it, of using it, because it had utility. Says the calf, even when it's in the mother's stomach, when it's inside the mother, it was considered prepared, b'shchita, because that if one would slaughter the mother and finds the calf inside, one can eat that calf. And therefore, it's considered prepared. So that's a very big difference in contrast to the chick, which had no utility when it's still in its egg, when it's inside the mother. And therefore, that's going to be the difference. Here we're talking about that it was considered prepared, and there it wasn't. Now that the Gemara asked, they continued asking, says, but uma ben zeh le'egel shenoyle min hatrefa. But what are you going to do, which your answer will not work, regarding when we say a calf that's born from an animal that has a mortal defect, where the child would be forbidden if it's found inside. In other words, your answer was that, look, one is when it was found inside would be permitted, one when it's found inside would be forbidden. And therefore, the chick that's born, since it wasn't permitted inside, and it's only when it comes outside, that was never muchin, it was considered muktzah. But the calf, if you cut open the animal, you could just eat the child that's inside, that calf, and therefore it was already prepared, it was already something that was had utility from going in from before Yom Tov, and therefore it's not considered muktzah. Now, with that they're asking, but what's with the case where you cannot say that? If let's say the mother has a mortal defect, if one slaughters the mother, if you find inside the calf, it's forbidden. And that's based on the principle of what's called uba yerech imoy, which means to say that the fetus is considered like an extension, like one of the limbs of the mother. Now, since when you slaughtered the mother, if you were coming to eat it, you would not be able to. So therefore, when it's born on Yom Tov from this mother that has a mortal defect, you can't say that it was, quote, muchen agav imoy, that it was prepared through the mother itself, because even though you could slaughter it itself, and then you would be permitted to eat the child, but however, by the mother itself, it wasn't considered prepared. Yet we still find nobody that says it's aser, but that seems to be exactly the case you're saying with the chick that hatches, where inside it was not permitted. Here also inside is not permitted. Yet here the child, when you're slaughtering, is permitted on Yom Tov, and here by the chick you're saying it's aser. So the Gemara says Shasak Rab. So Rab was quiet. He didn't answer. Now on that the Gemara asks, I'm a Rabbah, and Vitam is some say Rabbi Yosef. My time is Shasak Rab. Why was Rab silent? Lamelu, he should have responded. What do you mean? It's still different. Hayul muchin agav imoy leklavim. Since this animal that's a trefa is considered has utility because it's fit for dogs. In other words, by twilight, ben hashmashas, which is the time that designates the status of an item for the entirety of the Shabbos or Yom Tov, whether it be muktzah or prepared, at that time the mother had utility for dogs because it's a trefa, people can't eat it, it's considered non-kosher, and therefore it's going to be thrown to the dogs. And therefore, since the mother had utility, in other words, for something, for the dogs, so then the child also has utility, albeit for human beings when it's going to be born. But it's not totally muktzah, as if you have no utility, you can give it to your dogs, which you have to give them something to eat. But regarding the case of the chick hatching, where when it's in its shell, it has no utility whatsoever, not for dogs, no one's eating it with the shell on, and not for humans, it wasn't fit. And therefore, that's considered noilid, and that's why it's going to be aser. So why didn't he answer that? It's still different. You're right. There is a difference between a trefa and a kosher animal, which when you slaughter a kosher animal, they have the same utility. But here there is at least some utility by the non-kosher animal, the trefa, because it still has utility for the dog. So it has utility. And the child has utility when it's born. You can go ahead and eat it. So it's not muktzah. It's not set aside. It's mukhen for something. And therefore, that's why the child's not going to make it tzedek nilet. But by the efrayach, when it's inside, it has no utility whatsoever. It's in a shell, and no one, not even dogs, are eating that. So therefore, that's going to be considered total nilet. And that's why it's aser. Why didn't Rav answer that? So only Abai said to the questioner, why didn't Rav answer that? And we continue on Talmud Beis. He says as follows, the following Kal Vachomer. Says, Hashta muchen la'adam. Now, if we find by something that's considered prepared and has utility for a human being, for a person, yet lo yhav muchen la'klavim, we do not consider that as if it's prepared for dogs. And that is according to the one that holds of the broader spectrum of muktzah. Where if something became a nevela on Shabbos, which means that going into Shabbos, it was a kosher animal. Then it became treif. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, yesterday ben Ashmashes, when it was going into twilight of the coming in Yom Tov or Shabbos, it was fit for a person. Yet still, Rabbi Yehuda considers that as muktzah regarding dogs. In other words, to use it for dogs, you're not allowed because it was set aside for that. Which means to say, although it might have utility for something, but that's whatever it had utility for. Whatever it didn't, for example, let's say dogs, because no one's giving a full kosher animal to dogs, therefore we're going to consider that as not prepared for dogs, even though it was prepared for humans. That's not like we learn the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos that says Mechatchin es adlum lefnei habehema. Person is allowed to cut up gourds in front of an animal. Ves hanaveh lefnei klav. You're also allowed to cut up. You're also allowed to give a carcass, a dead animal carcass, in front of dogs. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, he qualifies. He says, "Im loy hayis nevelam erev Shabbos." However, if it was not a carcass from before Shabbos, then asura, then it will be forbidden to give it to the dogs. Lefisha inim and amuchin, because it wasn't considered prepared. In other words, because of an animal that was not a nevela, didn't die or didn't get a moral defect, we're going to give it for people. An animal costs, the meat costs a lot of money. You're not going to throw it to the dogs. Therefore, since it was kosher going into Shabbos, it's not considered fit, even though it becomes a dead animal on Shabbos, you cannot give it to the animals. Now, Abai says, if so, take the logic one step further. So, muchen leklavim, so regarding something that's considered prepared for dogs, which is the case that we're talking about, that you're asking on Rav, regarding when the mother's a trefa, have a muchen leadam, that you want to say would be considered prepared for man? In other words, what utility does a person have with a carcass? Nothing. You want to say that he'll have utility by giving it to his dog, but if we're finding by something that has utility for a person, is not considered fit for a dog, so something that's fit for a dog, you're going to say is not considered mukta for a person? And therefore, what's your question? Amalei, they said to him, in. No, it's not true. It actually is, because muchen la'adam, lo have a muchen la'klavim. You're right. Something that's prepared for man is not considered prepared for a dog. As we learned in that Mishnah Masechta Shabbos. Now that's the reason is because demay dechazi leil inish, because whatever is fit for a human, no matter what the circumstances, leishali leil klavim, you're not going to throw it to dogs. And therefore, if it wasn't in the veil from before Shabbos, it's mukta for the utility of giving it to dogs. However, muchen leklavim have muchen leadam. It's not true. If something that's prepared for dogs, let's say an animal that's a trefa, no one's going to be eating it, it's still considered prepared for man, and that is he doesn't totally push it out of his mind, which was what the halach of muktzah is. He's still thinking how he can utilize it. The daiti de inish akol midi de chazle. A person thinks about anything that is possibly fit for him to utilize. And therefore, the case that we're discussing of the uber, the fetus that's in the womb of the trefa animal, is considered fit for him when it's going to be born. And therefore, yesterday, he was thinking about that. When it's born, I'm going to be able to eat it. And therefore, really, the question does return, why was Rav quiet? Why was he silent? There is a big difference between even an animal that's a trefa, that the child is considered muchen on some level, because even though it's only muchen leklavim, but I know that the child is going to be kosher. I can't eat the mother because it has a moral defect. However, the child's going to be kosher. And therefore, since at least has muchen leklavim, the mother, so it's still considered muchen la'adam in the sense that even the child will be able to be used on Yom Tov, and it's not considered muktzah. However, the chick that's hatching, it had no muchen, had no utility whatsoever, not even for dogs, because no one's eating it with the shell. And therefore, that's why it's going to the muktzah. So why didn't Rav answer that? That's the question they were asking. Why was Rav silent? However, the Gemara says that either way, Tanikav Haseid de Rav, we have a brisa that supports Rav that the chick that hatches on Yom Tov is going to be forbidden. And Tanikav Haseid de Shmuel, v'itam Riechanan, and then we have a brisa saying like Shmuel, and some say that's Rabbi Yechanan, that it's going to be permitted, as the Gemara explains. Tanya Vasei Rav, we have a brayse that says like Rav, where it says, Egel shenel b'yamtiv mut, as we said, everyone agrees a calf that's born in yamtiv is permitted. Efreich shenel b'yamtiv is aser. The brayse says explicitly like Rav that the chick that hatched on yamtiv is going to be forbidden. Now, ma hefresh bin zel, and as the Gemara had asked previously, so what is the difference between the two of them? Rather, because zeh muchen agav ima b'shchita, the calf, as we said, is considered prepared. It's not muktzah, because if you slaughtered the mother, it would be permitted. Therefore, you're still thinking about the child. It wasn't set aside. It's not something that's a new thing that you didn't think about. Whereas vezeh, regarding the chick, eina muchen agav ima, is not considered prepared based on its mother. It doesn't have the same halacha like an animal that's found inside the mother, and that's why it will be considered muktzah, and that's why it's going to be asa. Whereas Tanik of Asay Deshmul, we have a brice that says like Shmuel, and some say that it's Rabbi Yechon that said it, where the brice says, Egel Shanel be Yamtiv Mutter, the calf that's born on Yamtiv is permitted, and Vefrech Shanel be Yamtiv Mutter, so too, the egg, that the chick that hatched on Yamtiv is going to be permitted. Now, my Tamar, what's the reason for that? As we said, Zemuchen Agav Imay, the calf is considered prepared based on this mother. You slaughter the mother, you could eat the calf that you find inside of it. And Vezen, the chick, Mater Atzma B'Shchita, as we said, the logic of Shmuel was because since it's already, its birth is permitting it on some level in regards to the halach of consumption, which now you could slaughter and eat it, so too that its birth also takes away the other problem of the halach of muktzah, and that's why it's going to be permitted. Now the Gemara continues on this and says, Tanah Rabban, learn that b'raisa. Efreich shenel b'yamtiv asa. So this Tanah Kama says, like Rav, that the chick that hatched on yamtiv is asr. Now, Rabbi Lezmin Yaakov Eimer, he says, af b'choil asr. Even during the weekday, it's asr. Now, why is that? Lefish le'nispatchu einav, because its eyes has yet to open, which, as the Gemara will shortly explain, that's included in the isr of kol hasheretz hasheretz ala aretz, that shratzim, creepy things, are forbidden until it becomes not a sheretz, but rather an animal. A chick, as long as it, even though it just hatched and it's not in the egg anymore, as long as it's not opened up its eyes, Lezmin Yaakov says, even during the weekday, that would be asr. As the Gemara explains that Kaman Ozla Hadatana, who is the following Brysa going like in this machlikis that we just mentioned, where there's a pasuk in Beyukra that says, L'chol hasheretz hasheretz al aretz, for every creepy thing that crawls on the ground, where the pasuk that concludes that loisoichlum, you shouldn't eat it, kisheketz him, because they're abominable. What's l'chol, including hasheretz? L'rabis efroichim shalin nispatchei neim, that comes to include chicks that, although they hatch, but their eyes have not opened yet. Kaman, who is that like that says that even that would be aser? That's Kabbalez Ben Yaakov, that's like Kabbalez Ben Yaakov, and that's his source from that pasuk, where even during the weekday, forget about Yamtiv, even during the weekday, if its eyes didn't open yet, even though it hatched, it will be aser. Now, related to this, which will come into the understanding of what the following Amoraic statement was, the Gemara brings the following statement, which the Gemara has a few different versions of what is the statement actually saying. Amar Huna Marav says, Beya imitzi asa nigmra. An egg, with its coming out, is when it gets completed. And that is, when it comes out, it's completed. But before that, what that means, it's not considered yet a complete egg, which the Gemara will explain exactly for what halachic purpose is Rav Huna Marav saying this. As the Gemara asks, Mayim Tziyas Nigmar, what does this mean? That when the egg comes out, then it's considered completed. Ilei Mayim Tziyas Nigmar, if you're going to say that when it comes out, then it's considered completed. And then once it comes out of the hen, and now it comes out, it's an egg, then you're allowed to eat the egg with milk, because now it's an egg and it's not considered meat. It's, in other words, it's not considered an extension of the mother hen, which is chicken, which is forbidden to eat to meat. But, however, if it's found, if it's found inside the stomach of the mother of the hen, then it's not an egg. Rather, we view it as chicken. Then you're not allowed to eat it with milk. Now, Vatan Balur, and the Bryce is not like that. It says, Hashechet HaSatan HaGoylis, the Bryce says, if someone slaughters a hen, Umotza Ba'beitzim Gmuris, if he finds inside the hen complete eggs, and that's even without the outer white shell, that's even if it just has at least the yolk completed, even though it's still attached to the connective tissue to the chick, to the chicken, to the hen, Mutaris L'Acham HaChalav, you're allowed to eat that egg with milk, as the Gemara will later on prove this from the fact that Rabbi Yaakov argues and says that if it's attached to the connective tissue, then it's forbidden. Obviously, that this opinion holds that even if it's attached to the connective tissue, it's going to be permitted. So that can't be the explanation of Rav Huna in the name of Rav, that it's only when it comes out that we view it as an egg. But inside, it's not an egg, rather it's chicken, and therefore it would be forbidden if we see clearly that even when it's inside the hen, it's going to be permitted with milk. So Ella, rather, the explanation of Rav's statement was that imitzias nigmar, that when it comes out, that then it's completed, which means umotaris la'achla b'yamtiv, then you're allowed to eat that egg on yamtiv. In other words, if it came out from the hen from the weekday when it was before yamtiv, then it's permitted, because that means then it was definitely completed, because that's the stage of completion, during the weekday. Ha, but the diik is, the inference is, if it didn't come out from before yamtiv, rather it was b'mei ima, it was inside the hen before when yamtiv was starting, which means to say that it wasn't completed during the weekday, as we're saying that completion is only when it comes out, then asur la'achla b'yamtiv, then you cannot eat that egg on yamtiv, based on the principle that we mentioned in the previous daf, what's called hachana de rabba. The rabba learns out that the halacha of Beis Hill that begins our mesechta, that Beis Hill b'yamtiv is asur, because it was talking about a case where yamtiv is connected to Shabbos, and that you have to prepare even something like that's completed by itself, b'day shemayim, has to be prepared from a weekday to the yamtiv or to the Shabbos. Here also is saying that it's going to be forbidden because it was only completed when it comes out of the hen, and it came out on yamtiv, and therefore that's a problem, because that is the completion, and that means it wasn't prepared from before yamtiv, it was only prepared on yamtiv. Now, if that's their interpretation, but by the time learned the braisa that says, Hashech les satan negailas, if someone slaughters a hen, umatzaba beitzim gemuris, and he finds inside of it complete eggs, then mutaris lachem yamtiv, you'll not eat on yamtiv, even though we said that it was not completed from before yamtiv, because it only gets completed when it comes out. And if that's the case, you should have the problem of achanah de rabba. So we see that that cannot be their interpretation. Now, that the Gemara wants to say that, no, wait, p'chitem, if you're going to say that the halacha doesn't follow this braisa, in other words, don't ask from this braisa on Rav Huna Merav, because kamash mulam b'braisa ma'idolo hashmina b'masnitin, because this braisa is teaching us a certain halacha that we don't find in any Mishnah. In other words, no Mishnah tells us that Rebbe just says anonymously this halacha, and as the Gemara mentions elsewhere, this type of a phrase, as the Gemara says in Erevin, that im Rebbe leishan, if Rebbe, in other words, if in the Mishnayis, which Rebbe put together, doesn't say this halacha, so Reb Chiya, who put together the braises, where does he get this from? And therefore, don't ask him this braise, and maybe the halacha is like Rav Huna Merav, that if it is found inside the hen on yamtiv, which means say that it didn't come out yet, because that's its completion. If that happens on yamtiv, it's going to be aser, even though the braise doesn't say like that, but in Amitinin, that's not true, because we even learned it in a Mishnah, which is in our Mishnah, which the Mishnah says, Beishanol, the b'yamtiv, at the beginning of our Masechta, opened up by saying, an egg that was laid on yamtiv. Bisham say that there's no problem, you could eat it. We still say, no, you cannot eat it. Now, va'adkan loy pligi b'sham b'sil, we only had the machlekes b'sham b'sil, el benolda, as is the case of our Mishnah, regarding it being laid on, it was born, it comes out of the hen on yamtiv. But if it's still inside the mother, inside the stomach, then according to everybody, it's going to be permitted. And therefore, here, you can't say that this is an interpretation of Rav, because we find clearly in our Mishnah the same idea that even if it's in its stomach, it's going to be permitted. Now, that refutes the interpretation of saying Rav Huna Merav's halacha is that it's only completed, at least regards to the halacha of Hachana de Rabba, when it comes out, and therefore it's only permitted if it came out before yamtiv, not if it came out on yamtiv, where we see clearly in our Mishnah that even if it's inside the stomach, it didn't even come out yet. So that's for sure that its completion was not done from before yamtiv, because it didn't even come out, and the completion is only when it comes out, and yet still it's permitted if you find it inside the stomach. The only problem is when it's noilid, which that creates a new entity, and that's where they had the machlekes, b'sela mishamai. Now, that the Gemara wants to say that, wait a second, b'chitem b'sela fil b'me'im nami asri, maybe we'll say that no. Maybe this is the interpretation of Rav Huna Merav. And don't ask from our Mishnah where we see, like the Braisa, that if it's found inside the stomach, it's going to be usr. It's going to be permitted according to everybody, because maybe it's not true. Maybe this hill would hold that it's going to be usr. And that's like Rav Huna Merav said, because of the principle of Achana Derava, because that means it wasn't prepared from before yamtiv. Now, v'hai de ketani nolda, regarding this dik that you said, but look, they're only arguing regarding the case of when it was born, that's where it's aser, but it sounds like if it's found inside, then it's less of a new chiddush, less of a noilid, which therefore would be mutter, like the braisa. No, that's not true. That's actually lohidiyacha koichin de beishamai. We only picked that case to show their argument because we wanted to show you the strength of beishamai's argument, that fila nolda namishari, that even when it's laid, because we want to say koich de atei. Rabbi Yishami says it's permitted even when it's noilad, which noilad has more of a reason to say it's aser, because it's creating a new entity, whereas when it's inside the mother, it's at least part of the hen which is permitted. And maybe that's why we said the case of noilad, but really the halacha is like Rav Huna Marav, not like the Braisa, because the Mishnah doesn't say that, because actually Beis Hillel holds it's aser even inside the hen itself. But that's difficult to say that too, because Elohad Tanya, because regarding the Bryce that we quoted before, who would that be going like if we would say that that's the interpretation of our Mishnah? The Bryce said, HaShecher Es HaTana Goylis, if someone slaughters a hen, Umatzaba Beitzim Gemurz, and finds completed eggs inside the hen, Mutaris La'achem Yamtim, you're allowed to eat it on Yamtim. Now Mani, according to the way you're interpreting, to resolve this interpretation of Rav Huna Marav, not like the Bryce, so who's the Braisa like? It's loy b'shamay. It can't be like b'shamay, because if it's like b'shamay, then why would you say that if you found it inside the mother's stomach, even if it was noilad, even which is worse off, regarding the halachas of mukta, it would still be mutter, as you're explaining now. And loy b'sil, it wouldn't be like b'sil either, because you said that they would hold that even inside the mother's stomach, it would be aser, and the Braisa is saying that it's mutter. And therefore, that cannot be the interpretation of our Mishnah, and therefore there cannot be the interpretation of Rav Huna Marav, because if that was the case, we wouldn't have an explanation of who's the Tana of that Braisa. Ella rather, the Gemara gives a different explanation, of a third interpretation of what is the halacha of Rav Huna Marav coming to tell us that an egg is only considered complete once it comes out of the hen. Ella im yitzi asa nigmaro, what does it mean when it comes out, then it's considered completed? Umegadelis efreichim. That means to say that now it itself, what's coming out, can have and create its own chicks from it. And this is a halacha regarding the halachas of Mekach Memcha regarding business dealings. That if it was finally born, that's when it's considered fully matured. And now it's fit to have its own chicks coming out of it. But if it's found b'me'ima, if you find these eggs inside the mother hen, then ein magidel sefreichem, then it cannot go ahead and have its own chicks from itself. Now, l'may nafkum, the Gemara says, what's the difference if it could have its own, this egg that's in here, could it have its own chicks or not? What's the difference? That's for business dealings. And that's if, let's say, someone went and said he wants to purchase eggs that can have its own chicks, that it could continue its growth. Then if he sold them the ones that are found inside the stomach, not ones that have already come out, that's what's called in halacha mekech tois. That's a mistaken purchase. And therefore, it's what's called batel mekech. The entire purchase is considered void and null. As the Gemara says, Kehud Amar Lahu, like we've had with such an incident where someone told people, Beye, and we continue at the top of Zayin Mad Alf, the Fachi Laman. He was asking, who has eggs of Fachi, which is related to the word of Faya? In other words, it means to say that he wanted eggs that were born from a living chick, from a living hen, which is the term of Puya, of means to say that it was cooing, it was cackling when it was giving birth. In other words, he wanted to know that it was coming from a live animal. Now, however, they gave him the egg of an animal that was slaughtered. Now, also coming to the Rabbami, he came in front of the Rabbami to say, look at this, I asked for one from a live animal, and they gave me from one from a slaughtered animal. So he said to them, Mekech tosu v'hadar. That's considered a mistaken purchase, because he didn't ask for one from slaughtered, he wanted one from a live one, and therefore the entire purchase is considered retracted, and it's null and void. Now, the Gemara, and that's related to this idea that it would make a difference for Mekech HaMemcher what it is that you're looking to purchase. Now, the Gemara asks Peshitta, what do you mean? Obviously, it's a Mekech Toys, because he said explicitly this is what he wants. It doesn't make a difference what his reasoning is. He asked for one from a live animal. I want it to be living as it's coming out. And they gave me one from a slaughtered one, so of course it is. Now, the Gemara says no. The Chiddush of this Halach is, because Ma'av the Tema, what would I have said? Hayla Chila Kabaylahu, this that he wanted, the egg from one that was alive as it was laying this egg, really wanted it for consumption purposes, not for the intention which we said that it's going to make a difference where the egg is, if it's one that's hatched or you find it inside the stomach when it was slaughtered, is regarding could it have its own chicks from that egg. Really, he wanted it to eat. Now, v'haid to come up the fachis, so then why did he specify? What's the difference that it should be from a live animal? In other words, it should lay it and not should be slaughtered. That's mishum ditzriban. That's for a different reason, because the animal that's still alive when it's laying the egg, that just means to say that it was fully matured and therefore it's going to be a better tasting egg. Now, but then the question is, if you're going to ask lamai nafkamina, but what would be the difference regarding the one who wants it for eating or the one that wants it to lay eggs Either way, it's still got mekech tais. I asked, I wanted to purchase an egg that's from a living animal. And whether it's because I wanted to have chicks from it, which is only when, as we said, the halacha refun merav, as we're concluding, is regarding this, that it's when it comes out, when it's laid, not when it's found inside the shechuta, or because I want it because it tastes better, because that means it was fully matured and it's going to taste better. What's the difference? There is a halachic difference. L'meisvei le'beini beini, to give him the price differential between the two types of eggs. And that is, if his intention was because he just wanted to eat a better egg, so either one, that's not what's called a full-fledged mekech tois. And it wouldn't be totally null because both of them are eggs that are fit to be eaten. It's just that one's better than the other. So you can give him the price difference, what he lost, because he was paying for this better egg and you didn't give him that. Now, however, if he's doing it because he wants to have the eggs, that would be totally not related, because if he wants to have the chicks that would come out of this egg, it doesn't happen if it wasn't laid. Now, Kamash Mulan, that's the Chiddush of Rabbi Ami, that someone that says he wants eggs, what's called the Fachia, which means that it was alive and well when it was giving birth to this egg, is because he wants it for the future chicks that come out of that egg. Now, these type of eggs have no value whatsoever, because if it was found inside when it was slaughtered, that cannot have, as this was the halacha of Rav Huna Marav, that it's only going to be considered a Beya Imitziasa. That's again in regards to the fact that it can give birth itself to have future eggs. And that was what Rav Huna Marav's halacha was talking about regarding Mekech HaMemcher, that it's only going to be considered completed regards to having its own chicks when it comes out. And that's why the difference in Mekech Tois would be, what is the difference for some, the one that wants one that was laid and not found by Shruta, is because even though, yes, both he specified what he wants, and on some level it's a Mekech Tois, the difference would be if he had wanted it for eating purposes, then it's not a total Mekech Tois, because you got an egg that you could eat. The difference is that the money differential, because you wanted a higher quality and you didn't get this, so we could pay you off that amount. But now that the Chiddush Rabbi Ami is telling you that, no, generally the person buys the fachia, one that's from a live animal that was laid, is because he wants it to have its own chicks, and that's not possible at all. The egg you gave me is a total mekech tois. I don't want it for eating, and that's his Chiddush, that it's a mekech tois, and the mekech is bottle. And again, that's Allah of Rehunam Rav, that it's only imitziyasa, that's considered nigmar, to have its own chicks.